Here is the setting for today's text. People of Israel have finished the winding, long journey through the wilderness. Behind them is the desert they spent 40 years struggling through. Behind them are many battles, a few failures, and many gifts. Behind them is Mount Sinai, where God had met them and given them some saving words. Behind that is Egypt, where they had been slaves until God had set them free. All of that is behind them now. Ahead of them is a great land of promise that is to be their home. They aren't there yet, but they can see it gleaming on the horizon. It's calling to them. They want to go. They want to take it and live in that promise. And soon they'll have a chance. But before they can go in, they need to be clear about who they are. They need their memories intact. They need to know where they've been and why. They need to know what's at stake in the choices that are before them. So Moses talks to them there on the boundary. He talks to them for 30 whole chapters. Someone who had told God he couldn't talk, Moses talked quite a bit. Now this is wonderful talk. He tells them their story again, traces for them all their wanderings, traces their failures, names the mercies that picked them up and moved them on. But the whole talk funnels down to a few words at the end, which you have heard again this morning. Moses ends his speech on the boundary between the past and the future with these riveting words. Now look, I have set before you today life and prosperity or death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, you will live and you shall be blessed. But if you turn away and refuse to hear and are led into idolatry, you will die. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you may live in the land your God is giving you. Hold fast to God that you may live. These words are stark. Moses has a gift for bluntness. He doesn't do nuance. He sounds a little like a doctor giving straight talk to a patient who needs straight talk. Do this and you'll live. If not, you're going to die. The words are stark and they're disturbing. The words are also, of course, true. The choices we make are actually leading us either further into the realm of death or further into the realm of life and blessing. The dailiness of our choices may obscure this for us. The constant, multiplied decisions we make every single day, which seem so ordinary and small to us, may keep us from seeing their import. But the word here is terribly and starkly true. We are making daily choices that move us further toward death or further into life. So the text says, choose life, because life and blessing have to be chosen, because it is so fearfully, easily possible to choose a way that will kill you. Think about your choices. He says, be wise, be careful, and be certain that you are choosing life. Please don't hear these words today as if they come from Moses or from me. This is really God's own voice, and there's something pleading in it. See, here is life and here is death. Oh, my people, choose life. What's striking to me is that this appeal is made to the same people over and over again. Back at Mount Sinai, God had said this, if you obey my voice and keep my commandments, then you'll live as my treasured people. The people then answered, everything the Lord has said we will do. They chose. Later on, Joshua would say to the people, choose this day whom you will serve. And all the people answered, we will serve the Lord. They chose. Here to the same people again, the same appeal again. Why is it that the same appeal is made again and again? Why is it that Moses is so focused on the word today? I have set before you today the choice. Choose today life or death. This day, how do you choose? The reason for repeating that question so often about our choices is that it is so easy to start choosing badly, even without realizing it. A way that leads to death may look a great deal at first like a way that leads to life. So we must keep asking where we're going. We sometimes speak of being at a crossroads. You often hear at commencement speeches, the speaker will say, young men and women, you are standing today at a crossroads. Well, I, for one, have come to very few places in my life that look at all like a crossroads. Almost all of the various roads before me have looked a lot more like railroad tracks that seem to be parallel. They all seem to be going the same direction. So you take one. And it may take a great deal of time before you come to understand this is not the right way. Listen, the ways of evil are so seductively subtle, almost always appearing to be good. The devil never comes up to anyone and says, hello there, I'm the devil. How you doing? He usually comes dressed as a good idea. You recall the story of Eve. When the serpent addressed her, he didn't say, come and have a little taste of death. What he said was, would you like to be like God? Well, yes. There is a way that is right. And there is a way that seems right. And so you have to be relentless in asking yourself over and over, where is the road that we're on really taking us? We've been making some choices that seemed right at the time, but what does today's evidence offer? Is it time to choose again? For example, you take a road that says hard work, because hard work is good, and so you work long hours, you hurl yourself in, you busy yourself in the work because it seems right. But one day you look up and notice that traveling down that road, you are traveling further and further away from your family, from your neighbors, from your freedom. It's time to choose again. Or you choose a road that says personal freedom, because personal freedom is good. So you nurture yourself and guard yourself and express yourself. But one day you look up to notice that the path you've traveled has taken you further and further away from commitment, from responsibility, from life-giving obedience to something bigger than yourself. It's time to choose again. Do you see what I'm saying? The voice of Scripture says to us, look around you today. Take new stock today of your choices. Because the choices you made yesterday may have seemed right at the time, but may be leading you on a way. way of death. Choose again. Open your eyes to today's light. See where your path has brought you. Where are you now? If your path has been bringing you to more wholeness, more faithfulness, more of a living sense of God and life, then thank God and confirm your choices today. But if your choices have taken you away from these, then turn today and choose again. Fred Craddock tells of how when he was a young pastor in Tennessee, he would often see in the church service a little girl sitting by herself. She's about 5 years old. Her parents would bring her to Sunday school and worship, would drop her off and pick her up. But they wouldn't stay themselves. They were very busy people, socially active people, people on the social ladder climbing up. They had parties on Saturday nights with carefully chosen guest lists, people who were higher on the ladder than they were, people who might help them up, the boss, the movers, the shakers. Well, one morning in church, Craddock was astonished to see sitting beside the little girl in church her father and her mother. After the service, they met Craddock at the door and asked him if they could speak with him in his office. And there they told him they wanted to recommit their lives to Christ and to the church. Craddock couldn't help but ask them what had happened to bring them to this new commitment. And the man told this story. He said, "Last night we were having one of our parties, and I guess we got a little noisy because our daughter woke up, got out of bed, and came down the stairs. She stood on the third step, and she saw that we were eating and drinking, and she said over the noise, 'Oh, you're having dinner.' When she had our attention, she said, 'Can I say the blessing?' It got real quiet. And she prayed, 'God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. Amen. Good night.'" He said, "You might as well yell the word fire." No sooner had she left than the guests began looking at their watches and saying how late it was and how they needed to go and how in 5 minutes they were all gone. The husband and his wife began cleaning up, not saying a word, but thinking the same thing as they picked up the cups and the plates and the napkins and the half-eaten sandwiches. Took them to the kitchen. They met at the kitchen sink. Though they were both thinking the same question, it was the husband who put it into words. He looked at his wife and simply said, "Where do you think our lives are going?" And that question was enough for a new commitment. And as simple as it sounds, that is the question that you and I are invited again to ponder this day. Where do you think our lives are going? Let me suggest that you get inside that question by considering some other questions. Has the path that you have taken made you more open to your family or less? Is your heart now more open to real intimacy or less? Is the circle of your love for neighbors and strangers bigger than it was? Or smaller? Are you less anxious and less driven than you were? Or more anxious and more driven? Is your sense of joy deeper? Or is it duller? Have you grown more generous or somehow more tight-fisted? Are you more aware of your world and alive to it or less? Is there a more receptive space in your heart for communing with God, or have you grown more distant? Is your spirit freer than it was, or somehow more enslaved? Is there more of Christ in you now than there was, or less? If these questions seem to point to bits of bad news about us, then be very certain today that you hear the good news. The good news is that God is still speaking to us, still inviting us to choose. One of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture is the word repentance. It means our choices can be changed, and our consequences can be changed. Christ moves among us with real freedom in His hands for the changing of our choices. You can turn. And you can turn today from false choices that have been killing you quietly to the choices that lead you to life. For today, it is not too late for anyone. Let's be thankful for that. And let's be wise with it. See, I have set before you life and death. O my people, says God, choose. And choose life.